O'Neill! Cream O'Neill! Cream O'Neill! Cream O'Neill now!
Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country. The rate for imprisonment of blacks is 4 times that of apartheid South Africa, and the U.S. sends more black men to prison than to college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and to inspire activism against the American lockdown.
On October 29, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled against a new trial for incarcerated revolutionary leader and former Black Panther Mamia Abu-Jamal. This rejection is currently under further appeal at the state level, but Mamia has moved significantly closer to falling victim to state-sponsored murder. Mamia was framed for the righteous 1981 killing of a Philly cop engaged in an act of police brutality. Someone else killed the cop, but the American system of injustice, backed up by the fascist anti-crime fever among a great majority of whites, demands that somebody die for the killing of a pig. These fascists prefer to kill Mamia than the real killer, because Mamia is an outspoken leader who generates public opinion against the system. His political views, including his agreement with Mao Zedong that power grows out of the barrel of a gun, were used as evidence against him in his trial and in the imposition of the death penalty. Mamia has spent 16 years appealing his death sentence, but now things are poised to move very quickly from the Pennsylvania state courts to through the federal courts and from there to murder by lethal injection. The Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, passed by Congress after the bombing in Oklahoma City, is going to make it very difficult to convince the federal courts to overturn the conviction and death sentence. This 1996 law restricts habeas corpus appeals. A petition for habeas corpus is a vehicle for a prisoner to get a federal court to review his state court conviction by arguing that the conviction itself, or the length of the sentence in some cases, was a violation of his federal constitutional rights. This new law affects Mamia and other existing cases, even though Mamia's case is more than a decade old. And according to an explanation by Mamia's attorney, Leonard Weinglass, the law not only places brutal time limits on appeals of state decisions to the federal courts, the law also moves the goalposts, requiring federal judges to apply a presumption of correctness standard when reviewing state decisions. This means that the federal courts will be restricted from examining the findings of fact made by the state courts. Unfortunately for Mamia, the findings of fact and other state court actions are precisely the issue. The judge at Mamia's original trial and his appeals was Judge Albert Sabo. Known as the Hanging Judge, Sabo is a lifetime member of the Fraternal Order of the Police and has sent more men to death row than any other judge in the country. Sabo has earned the label Judge Beyond Reason from American Lawyer magazine, and his bias at Mamia's trial was severe enough to merit criticism even from the prosecution. Sabo made his bias clear in the record, but since Sabo declared himself unbiased during the initial appeals, the federal courts are restricted to maintaining that assumption. In a speech in Amherst, Massachusetts, after the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision, Attorney Weinglass expressed hope that the U.S. Supreme Court would strike down this federal law. Mamia is an outspoken advocate and leader of the black nation. He was a minister of information for the Black Panther Party and later a radio journalist. Mamia was hated by the Philly police and government for his work exposing police brutality. Years ago, the mayor of Philadelphia singled Mamia out at a press conference with this ominous warning: "Someday you'll pay for what you have done." What Mamia Abu-Jamal did do was raise the consciousness of the black nation about their colonization by white America. This commentary, recorded on death row for National Public Radio, shows by example why America and Philadelphia hate Mamia.
My name is Mamia Abu-Jamal. I'm a journalist, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and an African-American. I live in the fastest-growing public housing tract in America. In 1981, I was a reporter for WUHY and president of the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. Currently, I'm a writer and a public radio commentator. I've been a resident on Pennsylvania's death row for 11 years. Tune in to hear my regular reports from death row. This is Mamia Abu-Jamal on your public radio station. George Jackson was my hero. He set a standard for prisoners, political prisoners, for people. He showed the love, the strength, the revolutionary fervor that's characteristic of any soldier for the people. He inspired prisoners, whom I later encountered, to put his ideas into practice, and so his spirit became a living thing. a quotation from Dr. Huey P. Newton, Ph.D., former Minister of Defense of the Black Panther Party at the Revolutionary Memorial Service for George Jackson in 1971. August, in both historic and contemporary African American history, is a month of meaning. It is a month of repression. August 1619, the first group of black laborers called indentured servants landed at Jamestown, Virginia. August 25th, 1967, classified FBI memos went out to all bureaus nationwide with plans to, quote, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, or otherwise neutralize, unquote, black liberation movement groups. August 1968, the Newark, New Jersey Black Panther Party office was firebombed. August 25th, 1968, L.A. Black Panther Party members Steve Bartholomew, Robert Lawrence, and Tommy Lewis were murdered by the LAPD at a gas station. August 15th, 1969, Sylvester Bell, San Diego Black Panther Party member, murdered by the US organization. August 21st, 1971, Black Panther Party Field Marshal George L. Jackson, assassinated at San Quentin Prison, California. Three guards and two inmate turncoats were killed, three wounded. It is also a month of radical resistance. August 22nd, 1831, Nat Turner's Rebellion rocked Southampton County, Virginia, and the entire South when slaves rose up and slew their white masters. August 30th, 1856, John Brown led an anti-slavery raid on a group of Missourians at Osawatomie, Kansas. August 7th, 1970, Jonathan Jackson, younger brother of Field Marshal George, raided the Marin County Courthouse in California, arming and freeing three black prisoners, taking the judge, prosecutor, and several jurors hostage. All except one prisoner were killed by police fire that perforated the escape vehicle. John was 17. And in an instance of resistance and repression, August 8, 1978, after a 15-month armed police standoff with the Philadelphia-based Naturalist MOVE organization, the police raided MOVE, killing one of their own in police crossfire and charging nine MOVE people with murder. The MOVE Nine and prisons across Pennsylvania are serving up to 100 years each. August, a month of injustice and divine justice, of repression and righteous rebellion, of individual and collective efforts to free the slaves and break the chains that bind us. August saw slaves and the grandsons of slaves strike out for their God-given right to freedom, as well as the awesome price, the ultimate price, always paid by those who would dare oppose the slave master's will. Like their spiritual grandfather, the blessed rebel Nat Turner, those who opposed Mossa in this land of unfreedom met murder by the state. George and Jonathan Jackson, James McLean, William Christmas, Bobby Hutton, Steve Bartholomew, Robert Lawrence, Tommy Lewis, Sylvester Bell, all suffered the fate of Nat Turner, of the slave daring to fight the slave master for his freedom. Rochelle McGee, for the crime of surviving the Marin County Courthouse Massacre, has been consigned to a life in California slave coffles, modern-day dungeons called adjustment centers, where he has languished since August 1970. He is a political prisoner guilty of the unpardonable sin of insurrection, and though not executed by hanging like his ancestor Nat Turner, nor executed by firing squad like his co-rebels, he endures a cruel living death in the bowels of Babylon. Their sacrifice, their despair, their determination, and their blood has painted the month black for all time. Let their revolutionary sacrifice not be forgotten nor taken in vain. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. For more information about my case, racism, and the death penalty, and what you can do, contact Equal Justice USA at 301-699-0042.
That excellent commentary by Mumia was never aired on National Public Radio. NPR hired Mumia as a commentator, but they decided instead to curry the favor of the government and censor Mumia's revolutionary voice. We have here a statement from Mumia Abu-Jamal, written in response to the October 29 denial of a new trial.
A statement from Death Row. by Mumia Abu-Jamal. Once again, Pennsylvania's highest court has shown us the best justice that fraternal order of police money can buy. Ignoring right reason, their own precedent, and fundamental justice, they have returned to the stranglehold of death. In their echoes of tortured logic of Judge Albert Sabo, they have reflected a striking fidelity to the DA's office. If it is fair to have a tribunal who are in part admittedly paid by the Fraternal Order of Police, and at least one justice who can double as DA one day and a judge in the next in the same case, then fairness is just as empty a word as justice. To paraphrase Judge Sabo, it is just an emotional feeling. In recent months, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has upheld death sentences in cases where an impartial reading of transcripts or pleadings would make an honest affirmation all but impossible. They have ignored all evidence of innocence, overlooked clear instances of jury taint, and cast a dead eye on defense attorneys' ineffectiveness. What they have done in my case is par for the course. This is a political decision paid for by the Fraternal Order of Police on the eve of the election. It is a mischief night gift from a court that has a talent for the macabre. I am sorry that this court did not rule on the right side of history, but I am not surprised. Every time our nation has come to a fork in the road with regard to race, it has chosen to take the path of compromise and betrayal. On October 29, 1998, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court committed a collective crime. It damned due process, strangled the fair trial, and raped justice. Even after this legal sleight of hand, I remain innocent. A court cannot make an innocent man guilty. Any ruling founded on injustice is not justice. The righteous fight for life, liberty, and for justice can only continue. Mumia Abu-Jamal, October 31, 1998.
Mumia's last scheduled execution date was in August 1995. That date was postponed in response to the huge outcry around the world for a new trial for this revolutionary leader. A new death warrant can be signed whenever the current appeal is denied. For this reason, 2,500 people demonstrated in Philadelphia in support of freedom from Mumia the weekend after the negative decision of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The most effective way to build a movement to free Mumia and our revolutionary leaders will be to paint this rotten system as it truly is. It's useful to emphasize the fact that the judge in Mumia's trial was more of an animal than most judges, but it's counterproductive to the long-term struggle for justice to endorse the rest of the system in the process of freeing Mumia. Mumia addressed the error of looking only at the individual bad apples rather than the corrupt system in a commentary on the May 13, 1985 police bombing and mass murder of MOVE members. MOVE is a black nationalist back-to-nature group that was singled out by the Philadelphia police for extermination. Mumia wrote, "Why did May 13 happen? To look at May 13, 1985 as an isolated act of official evil is to fall victim to the wave of propaganda that washed over much of America since that fiery, fateful day. City officials and much of the media have painted a picture of bungling, errors of judgment and misfortune. Who can forget the idiotic imagery of the mayor of the city of brotherly love defending the carnage of Osage Avenue with the words, 'Perfect, except for the fire.'" The truth points a far more felonious finger at authorities and exposes such portraits as pure fraud, for the May 13 massacre was not a monumental boo-boo, as in the sense suggested by both the politicians and the press. May 13 was no mere mistake, not a bad day, nor an incident showing bad judgment, no. May 13 was an exercise of deliberate mass murder, one planned and premeditated for months beforehand. For months prior to May 13, 1985, police tested high explosives at a city facility in its northeast section. Was it mere coincidence that a federal agent of the United States Department of Justice, the FBI, would give Philadelphia police over 37.5 pounds of a potent military explosive? How about a cop who happened to add C4 to the satchel bomb, William Klein? Was that a boo-boo? And what of the commissioners of the police and fire departments? When else will people see such civil servants as these who A, start a residential fire, B, fail to fight it, and C, use it as a tactical weapon of mass murder and destruction? How does one plan, construct, drop, and detonate an incendiary bomb by mistake? How does one barbecue babies by boo-boo?
Mumia Abu-Jamal's case is one of many crimes committed against the people by the imperial state and its murderous American followers. Every day, hundreds of thousands of members of America's oppressed internal colonies are held captive behind the bars of one of the world's most repressive legal establishments. Most of these people were not political activists when they were jailed, but more of them are becoming activists and revolutionaries every day. The struggle to end oppression in America is bigger than one case. Rail urges listeners to learn about Mumia Abu-Jamal's case and to take action to stop the murderous execution. With the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's denial of Mumia Abu-Jamal's appeal for a new trial, his case has an exceptional urgency. We also urge listeners to see this case as a symbol of the repressive injustice system, which itself is a tool for imperialist oppression in the USA and all over the world.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a weekly Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, zip code 01004, or send email to railradio@mim.org.